So let's get back to our 24-fold formulation of conditioned co-production. This conditioned co-production, we must remember, is an expression of reality as perceived by the enlightened mind. And in this reality, there are, as it were, this reality that is expressed as conditionality or conditioned co-production. In this reality, there are two trends, two great principal trends. There's a cyclical trend and there's a spiral trend. The cyclical trend constitutes what we call metaphorically the wheel of life. Better to say, the wheel of birth and death and rebirth, best known in its Tibetan pictorial or iconographic form as the wheel of life, the Bhava Chakra, about which we heard and saw something yesterday. The spiral trend of conditionality constitutes, in principle, the path. These two trends, the cyclical and the spiral, represent two different types or modes of conditionality. In the first type, the B which arises in dependence on A is the opposite of A, as when death arises in dependence on birth, pain arises in dependence on pleasure, and vice versa. In the second type of conditionality, the spiral, the B which arises in dependence on A adds to or augments A. It doesn't react to an opposite. It increases the A. As when, in meditation, happiness gives rise to joy. Joy gives rise to bliss. And so on. So, the cyclical trend is based on the first type of conditionality, the spiral trend is based on the second. Now, the cyclical trend, or wheel of life, is described as consisting of 12 links, not all of which are always listed in the texts. I'm going to just run through them rather quickly. First of all, ignorance. We heard something about this also yesterday, usually explained, as it was explained yesterday, as ignorance of the Four Noble Truths. Then, in dependence on ignorance, there arise two, the propensities. These are the volitional actions of body, speech, and mind that make for further existence within the wheel of life. Then, in dependence on the propensities, there arises three, consciousness, in the specific sense of the consciousness that arises in the womb of the mother at the moment of conception. Then, in dependent on consciousness, there arises four, name and form, roughly translatable as mind and body. In other words, the whole psychophysical organism. In dependence on name and form arise five, the six bases. These are the five physical sense organs plus the mind being considered as the organ for the perception of mental objects. In dependence on the six bases, there arises six, contact. This is contact between the five physical senses and the mind and their respective physical and mental objects. Thus, there is contact between the eye and forms, the ear and sights, and so on, and of course, contact between mind and mental objects or ideas. In dependence on contact, there arises sensation and or feeling. And this is of three kinds. These were mentioned also yesterday: pleasant, painful and neutral, and they can be experienced through all the six senses, including the mind. In dependence on sensation, feeling, there arises thirst or craving. I think it's better not to render this as the original Pali or Sanskrit word as desire. That can lead to confusion. The literal meaning actually is thirst. I'll give you the Pali Sanskrit word here. The Pali is tanha, the Sanskrit is trishna. Literally it is thirst, but metaphorically it is craving. Okay? And this is of three kinds. Craving for sensuous pleasure, craving for continued personal existence, and craving for non-existence. The last might seem rather strange, but some people, as perhaps unhappily we know only too well nowadays, do crave for non-existence, to blot everything out, to obliterate everything. That's one of the reasons, I think, why some people commit suicide. So craving for non-existence. In dependence on craving, there arises 9, grasping or clinging. And this has 4 different objects. Grasping at or clinging to sensuous pleasures, clinging to philosophical theories, and clinging to moral rules and religious observances as ends in themselves. Here the emphasis is on the clinging. Then there's clinging to the notion of a permanent, unchanging soul or self. In dependence on grasping or clinging, there arises 10, becoming, in the sense of re-becoming within the wheel of life, whether within this human world or any other world. This link, this 10th link, is sometimes understood as representing the intrauterine period of human life, the period that is between actual conception and actual birth. According to some Buddhist schools, including those of Tibet, it represents the intermediate state between the bardo in Tibetan, between death and rebirth. That's the difference of view between some of the different schools. Yeah? But be that as it may, in dependence on becoming, there arises 11, birth, that is to say, rebirth. And finally, in dependence on birth, there arises 12, decay and death, together with sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, and despair. So these are the 12 links that make up the cyclical trend of conditionality. And every serious student of Buddhism needs to be well acquainted with them, needs in fact to study them thoroughly. I've given only the briefest possible outline. I've done little more than just enumerate these 12 links, but I suggest that if you're a serious student of Buddhism, you learn the Pali or the Sanskrit terms for them. Now, we should be able to recite these terms from memory, almost like repeating a mantra. We should reflect on them systematically. We should meditate on them. Otherwise, there's not much hope about really understanding what Buddhism is all about. In the Buddhist tradition, in fact, there are methods of meditating systematically on the 12 links. I've no time to go into that now. So, the 12 links represent a somewhat more detailed explanation of the origin of suffering. They are in fact an elaboration, as you probably will have noticed, of the first and the second of the 4 noble truths. That is to say, the truth of suffering or unsatisfactoriness and the truth of the origin or cause of suffering or unsatisfactoriness, which is, broadly speaking, craving. But fortunately for us, the process can be reversed. The links can be enumerated negatively, that is to say, enumerated in reverse order, with the cessation of birth, decay and death does not arise. with the cessation of becoming, birth does not arise. And so on back to, with the cessation of ignorance, the propensities do not arise. Thus, the 12 links, taken in reverse order, also represent a detailed explanation of the cessation of suffering. They are, of course, an elaboration of the third and fourth noble truths, the truth of the cessation of suffering and the way leading to the cessation of suffering, way leading to nirvana.